I saw something today, and both Joshua and Scott touched on this. I actually got a word that was similar to this week about what God's doing here at this church. And you're familiar with what you heard them both say about God with new wine and the necessity for new wineskins. And what the Lord showed me was He's got new wine, and He's designed to pour that out. But what He's doing at the same time is He's making a new wineskin here. He's changing some things. And I'm sitting there, and I look over at our nice little seal right here. And y'all might not pay attention to these things like I do. I'm the type of person, if I get invited over to your house and I see a picture slightly crooked, I'm going to go fix it. I notice things like that, right? Well, if you've ever noticed this before, the dove is usually pointed down. And I don't know what happened. If somebody got their hands on it, or if somebody, capital S, got their hands on it and moved it just a little bit. I think there's a change that symbolizes that's happening here. We're going up. We're going to a new level. God's making the new wineskins by melting away the old and giving birth to something new and something beautiful. And I'll tell you, we've been praying for things for a long time at this church. And you know, the thing you got to learn about God is His timetable is a whole lot different than us. You know, the Bible teaches us what God's time frame's like. A day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. Amen. So what that means is, Bruce actually did the math on that before and figured out basically what it broke down to, and I can't remember all of it right now. But basically it's like if God tells you, I'll be there in a minute, 4 months later He shows up. Okay? So God's on a little bit different time frame than we are on things, and our flesh wants things to happen at a certain time. But I believe we are in the hour. No, that's wrong. We're in the minutes of this time. And God's doing something. He's doing something special. But a lot of it's going to have to do with how much we allow ourselves to become new wineskins. Can we contain it? Will it bust us? You know? And so we've been getting ready. I believe we've been sowing the Word of God for years here. And there is a time now for harvesting. And one thing that's very key and it's important to understand about sowing and reaping is I think we've got this fallacy in the body of Christ that, yeah, we do the sowing, but God does the reaping. Basically, in other words, if I do something to sow, well, God will do the rest. No, that's not the way it works in the natural, and that's not going to be the way it works in the spiritual. If we sow, we have to reap. And that's the preparation, that's the diligence, that's the effort, the work, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring in that harvest that God has for us. It works in our lives from individual levels, it works in our lives corporately, it works in our lives as a city and as a community, and I'm here to tell you today, it's reaping time. About 3 people got excited about that. It's reaping time! It's harvest time. And the fields are white unto harvest. And I'm going to tell you, it's such an awesome time because we've gone through a dry spell in the world, I'm talking about. We've gone through a real dry spell. And I think COVID ushered in a lot of these different things in our life. And I don't know if y'all felt it, noticed it, or anything, but there was a laziness, a slothfulness, a spirit of this world that came in that just kind of dummied us down for several years. I believe that's breaking. I believe the sun is shining through the clouds. And I believe something special is about to happen. And Hope for the Heart of Georgia and other things that we're going to do to bring in this harvest is going to become a big part of what God wants to do. That's why we're studying how to be witnesses. how to do these different things in our life. And I believe this is a big, important part of what God wants to do. So, I got a few minutes here. I want to share something with you. Go over in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to just touch on something for a few minutes, and then we'll pick up next week on what God has for us. But I'm telling you, there's some good things happening. There are some good, exciting times that we're in. Amen. You've been born for such a time as this, to be His witnesses. Amen. In this generation. Now, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, let's touch on this verse again. This is a very important verse for our lives, something that we need to pick up and run with and really take seriously in our life of what God's called every person in this place to do. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me," where? In Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Amen. So what we've made the point of from this verse is, we've spent the last 4 weeks talking about the importance of getting the power. Amen. And that's the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit in your life. You got to stay full of Him. You got to be baptized in Him. You need to develop communion with Him. This is a critical part of Christianity, and it's what enables you and I to take a Christianity that feels like we're walking up flights of stairs to taking the escalator. I don't know about you guys, but I sure like escalators. When I was a kid, I really loved them. I'd go up one, come down the other, and just keep going up because it's really nice for something else to push me in this direction, to where there's no effort, no sweat, God is doing it for me. It's an escalator experience, and that's what I believe the Holy Ghost is wanting to do in our lives. Amen. So the Holy Spirit comes, and now what happens? And you shall be witnesses. So what's happening a lot of times with a lot of people is they're trying to be a witness without first getting the power, and they're getting the cart before the horse. They have great programs, they have great formulas, they have great ideas of how to bring people to Christ. And while there are tools, while there are things that we should be doing, you got to have the Holy Spirit first to be able to do this. Because I, for one, if I'm called to go out and cut some trees down, I don't want to have an electric power chainsaw and out there trying to put the blade on the tree and trying to cut it down like this. How many of you know I'm going to have a whole lot of sweat and a whole lot of failure in trying to do that? But if I get some power, and you got some power, if you get some power and you plug that thing in, that power chainsaw will take that tree down in a matter of minutes instead of it taking all your effort. And the Holy Spirit is the power to your chainsaw. Amen. So we become witnesses as a result of what? The Holy Spirit coming upon us. Amen. Now, when it comes to being witnesses, what's really important to understand is He doesn't say you'll become witnesses. He said you will be a witness. And what you got to realize is that you are a witness whether you're out doing witnessing things or not. People are reading you. You know, the Bible talks about is how we are living epistles read and known by all men. Amen? And you're the only Bible some people will ever read. So when they watch how you respond to things, the peace you have in the midst of the storm, the joy you have midnight in prison, and the love you have for your enemies, when they see these things manifest in you, they see God manifest in you. And then they come to know God as a result of it. Well, the Holy Spirit's the only one that's going to enable us to be able to do those things. So you become a witness. So let me quickly share with you what it means to be a witness. When you look this word up, do you know what the Greek word is that Jesus chose to use for witness here? It's the word where we get our English word martyr from. Now, what do we think of when we think of a martyr? We think of somebody who died for their faith. We think of somebody that either through the sharing of their faith or because they would not deny their faith were put to death as a result of that. That's usually the picture that we have when it comes to being a martyr. But before we ever got this imagery of what a martyr is, Jesus told us what it is. It's a witness. And this isn't just talking about dying for your faith. What this is talking about is living for your faith. A true martyr, a true witness for Christ, lives for their faith. It's your lifestyle. It's who you are. When people run into you at your house, when they run into you in the marketplace, when they see you at church, the same church talk you have, you're going to have in Kroger. Because I jokingly said this Thursday, God's everywhere. He's omnipresent through you. That means He's in Kroger. And He's even in Walmart. I know that's hard to believe. He's everywhere, glory to God. He's everywhere in you. So you are the martyr for the Lord. Because why? You live for your faith. Glory to Jesus. Now, when we hear the word, term, witness, that's usually not what we think of. What do we think of? What's the first example we think of when we hear about a witness? We hear about a witness in a court of law. And I wish Donna was here tonight, because she'd be so proud of me for the research that I did to learn all this information I had to share with you about what a witness is. But what I'm talking about today is, that's what we think about with a witness. Now, think about this whole idea of what a witness is in a court of law. Number one, a witness is first summoned. They're called to come in. Did you know that's exactly what you've been made? You have been called and summoned to be a witness for Christ. It is not up to us whether we choose to take the witness stand or not. If you don't come to that subpoena, guess what? You might get locked up. You might get a fine. Well, the Bible teaches us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I know that's talking more about us coming and being on trial for our faith and things like that and the things that we did. But actually, one of the number one things that we're going to be judged on, good and bad, is what kind of witness were you? That's really what you can all boil it down to. How was your witness in this flesh while you were on this earth? This is why you should take such a serious, sober attitude towards this whole idea of what is my witness like before people? Now, let me address the elephant in the room. I know we've all failed at this. Unfortunately, all of us have been hypocrites at different times in our life. We haven't always been the best witness, and there is grace for that. So don't live under a cloud of condemnation because you might have failed at this at different times. Just pick yourself up right now and say, I'm going to be the best witness from this day forward in my life. Amen? And that's the mentality we have. So you've been summoned, you've been called, but what does a witness do when they're in court? They testify to the things they know, the things they've heard, and the things they've seen. Amen? And what I mean by that is you've got different kinds of witnesses. You've got what's called expert witnesses. You know what an expert witness is? It is like they might call a doctor or a scientist or somebody into a court of law to basically use their expertise to testify of something that they know. Right? So it proves a point and validates a case. Well, what do you know? What are you an expert about? That's what you're called to testify of. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about, do you have a theological degree and you've gone to some seminary out there and learned a bunch of information about God. That's not what I'm talking about. You can have 32 degrees on the end of your name and still be frozen. About six of you got that. 32 degrees, freezing level. Right? Well, you can have all kinds of information crammed in your head, a bunch of knowledge and all this stuff, and that doesn't make you life-giving to people. That doesn't make you on fire for God. But I'll tell you what, there are certain things you can know. And this is what's powerful about it, because it helps in your witness. I see too many Christians trying to spend all their time trying to win an argument. If they got a skeptic or an atheist out there, they're trying to convince them of something. So they got all their guns loaded. They got all their bullets in there ready to defend the gospel. Well, have you ever noticed that the people that are wanting to argue with you, have you ever noticed how you never win those arguments? Even if you prove them dead wrong? They're not quick. I mean, how many of you have ever had a skeptic? I'm talking about a serious person that was against the things of God, and you were trying to convince them of the truth, and you won an argument with them to where they came back to you and said, you know what? You were right. I was wrong, period. It doesn't happen, does it? So what that shows me is it's not about winning an argument. It's not about having information. But you know what they can't argue with? Your testimony. No one can argue and dispute the transformation of my life and what I've come to know and what I've come to see and what I've come to experience in my life. None can argue with me about that. And I'll tell you, I've had some atheists before me and things like that, and I've had these conversations. I'm going to say, well, let me tell you what happened to me. In the year 2000, I went to church, and I was standing in a pew, kind of like y'all are. And that lady evangelist started preaching the gospel, and I'd had a background about Christ, and all of a sudden, it was like when altar call time came, it was like I swallowed a bunch of metal, and that altar was a magnet. And I'm not saying metaphorically that happened. That literally happened. It was pulling me up there. Oh my gosh. And I had enough background about God to know there's something happening here and I need to respond. I need to go. He was drawing me. He was wooing me. And I went up there and it was like a tornado happened in my life. Things fell off of me. My life was changed to where even the sky was bluer and the grass was greener. Scales came off my eyes. And I saw things differently. And my life was changed. I had an energy. I had an excitement for God. And you couldn't hold me back from reading my Bible, praying, and going to church meetings. So if I get somebody in front of me that don't have that experience yet, my job as a witness is to do what? To testify of the things I know that I've seen and what I've heard. What have you experienced? Now you might just, hey, I know God's good. I know God's faithful. I know God is a healer. And you share this good news with people. And you remember, this is the real point, is too many Christians have left the witness stand and are trying to be the advocate. That's the defense attorney. Now, who in the Bible is called the advocate? Jesus. He's the defense attorney. You are the witness. So we sometimes make the mistake of starting to try to take Jesus' job from him. I know everybody in here is innocent of this very thing I'm talking about. I know I have no people present today who are Holy Ghost Junior or have a Messiah complex. No, I know myself and I know you in a lot of ways, and some of us are control freaks. Some of us are the ones that, bless God, like the kids say when they're real little, I do it myself. Well, that's a problem. No, I'll do it by God's help. I do what God enables me and gives me the strength and the grace to do. Amen? And so when it comes to this whole witness thing, what do I got to learn to do? Stay in the witness stand. And a witness stand doesn't just, the person doesn't just get up there and say whatever they want to say. They say those things that they have experienced, the things that they have been summoned to come say. Amen? And so what you've got to know is the things you've experienced in Christ Jesus, the things you've had happen in your life, That's your responsibility to share that. And when you do, here's the good news. When you do that, the Holy Ghost can do his job of being the convictor. Because how does a conviction come in a court of law? It's through a witness. It's through a testimony. It's through somebody testifying of what they've seen or heard, and then the judge makes the decision to say, you know what? We've got enough proof. Convict them. When you simply share what you're called to share as a witness, you release the Holy Spirit in the situation to begin doing his ministry to convict the person, instead of you and I trying to bring conviction, trying to make it happen, and trying to build this thing on our own. You're called to be a witness, not an advocate, not a convictor, none of these things. That's God's job. Your job is to just simply share the good news. So this is what I'd encourage you to do. As we're doing the Come and See program, and you're going to be sharing things with people, this is the way you approach it with them. You go and share in a elevator pitch. Y'all ever heard of an elevator pitch? I know some of you, I see a couple of you doing this. If you've been in the business world and stuff like that, they talk about with sales, you have to know how to make something concise enough to where if you were just in an elevator with somebody and going up a few flights or a few levels, that you can share it all in that short period of time. Can you take your testimony, put it in an elevator pitch, to where then when you share it, it's like, well, let me tell you real quick. God saved my life. He changed me. He turned me around. He made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Things fell off of me. I became a born-again believer, and my life has never been the same, brother. God is faithful. He is good. Amen. See you later. You got to be prepared for these things, right? Now, you might have more time with people. Likelihood is you will. But you got to be ready for all these different situations to simply share what you've seen, what you've known, what you've heard. Amen. And when you do that, you are a martyr for Christ. So the title of my message today is Dying to Be a Witness. Amen. Dying to be a witness. And this is the thing I really want to just leave you with today. You've got to make sure that your life is based and revolves around your witness with people. I know there are people in here who want to know what your purpose is. You want to see God's call on your life come to pass. And you are seeking it, you desire it, and at the core of your being, you want to be relevant. You are. And the number one thing you've got to do and make it your highest aspiration in life is, Lord, I want to testify of you. I want to come to court, get on that witness stand, and I want to have every opportunity that comes before me of me sharing the good news with people, sharing the life of Christ with them. In every situation I'm at, this is why it's so important when you go to lunch today that you treat your waitress or waiter with some respect. That you treat people kindly. That you show forth the goodness of God. That's what brings people to repentance. People are going to see when you love people. They're going to know when you really love. We were joking about it earlier over in Sunday discipleship class beforehand, and somebody got up and gave me a hug and said, this is the way I learned how to have a hug. And it was, you know, wow, what a great hug that is. Sometimes things like that are just so simply what people need. So we got to get off our own agendas, our own things. I got to do this. I've got all these different things to do, and bring it back down to the basics. Lord, this is what I'm called to do. I'm going to respond to being summoned. How many people are summoned in this place today? Let's stand on our feet then.